Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, we're talking about this Ryan Fitzpatrick to a Tagovailoa story. Yeah, and Fitzpatrick was just blindsided by it, and I'm not surprised by that. I mean, my take on it is, I love his passion. I love his honesty. I understand why he'd be heartbroken. He's playing really well. He's got a good team. They're 3-3. They're winning ball games, but I don't think it's incumbent on the team to tell him about their plans. Like, I don't think they owed him some sort of a heads up in camp. Where would you stand on that?
Well, I mean, it would be nice. But
yeah, nice, sure, but it's pro sports.
You know, but it's never going to happen. I'm sure, you know, like, everybody, there's a real realistic honesty when you're in the locker room about your own team. Like, Fitzpatrick knows they drafted Tua because he's the quarterback of the future. Like, he's well aware of that. Nobody needs to tell him that. Whether he thinks he's the quarterback this year or for half the year or whatever is going to be on the management. But the guys know, like, Noodles, like, you would know when a young hotshot goalie's around, you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Like, well, Eric Fichaud. Like, right. I remember on the island, Eric Fichaud was, you know, the next coming of Christ. So, you know, we had to, like,
you know what? Nobody had to tell you.
Right.
Like, you just saw it right on the draft, and you went, oh. I remember, you know, drafting, like, our team, whatever team I was on, and they draft a center. And I'd be like, well, why didn't we draft a winger? Right? Like,
how dare you?
You know it's getting cramped around you. Yeah. And it sucks. And the worst part is, look, I don't follow the NFL like I used to, but it appears as though there's a lot of teams with really terrible quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick has got a lot of swagger, and he's had a really good year. And now he's going to sit with a ball hat on. And you can be the best mentor that you want, and you can be the best guy that you want, but this is your career melting away. Like, week after week. Like, they're not starting Tua for 2 weeks. Unless the guy goes 3 for 150. Right? Like, he's the guy now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And so you're sitting there, you're like, what can you do? You can't do anything. And it's not, I think it's important, like, it's not like he's looking for sympathy. Somebody asked him a question and he told you what he's thinking. And that's legit.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's a bit of a sales pitch in that as well with the trade deadline in about 2 weeks, under 2 weeks. Like, letting everyone else know, I still want to play. I'm passionate. I love it. I'm not just going to accept this.
If you're Jerry Jones, do you want to keep watching what you watched on the weekend?
That's what we brought up. I mean, I think there might be some potential. It comes down to a price. I mean, you're not going to have to pay that much for Fitzpatrick, but yeah, I mean, it does bring up an interesting dynamic in the room. You know, the idea, I get the impression, like, they love Fitzpatrick in Miami. Like, the boys love him. The locker room loves him. Doesn't mean they don't love Tua, and they'll really love Tua if he steps in and plays unreal. Then they're really going to be the biggest fan, and this will be a no-brainer. But you said something there a moment ago that I find interesting, Ray, about, you know, the honest analysis within the room. And you were, you know, you expanded on that based on the depth chart and who might be coming. But does that also apply to how good you are, how bad you are, you know, regardless of what you say publicly? Because everyone's going to say, we believe in the room. Meanwhile,
you mean
the team hasn't won a game.
Of your own team?
Yeah, of your own team. Like, your analysis of the team. You're like, we're not that good, you know, or
man,
whatever,
like,
it is.
We would often, you know, I like to use my Atlanta experience because the worse you are, the more honest you are,
yeah.
I think. And so, like, we'd sit there, you know, on the bus after the game, having a cold one, going to the airport, and you'd go, man, we played our asses off tonight. Man, that was good. And we lost 5-3.
Yeah.
you know, like, we weren't winning. We're like, it can't. So, yeah, absolutely. And then there is gallows humor to it, too. And Noodles, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're on not a very good team. But there's a gallows humor that you're like, oh, my, you see our power play tonight? We never touched the puck.
I know. Like, it is, I can only point to the expansion team that I played on in Minnesota. And you guys know Sean O'Donnell? Like, very funny guy.
Oh, I played with him in L.A. What
so
a funny guy.
I call him Fred Flintstone. He looks exactly like Fred Flintstone. So we're playing in St. Louis, and I come from St. Louis, so I've got a lot of pride going back into that building. Like, I'd been on a President's winning trophy winning team there in St. Louis and laid some roots, and we go back in there one night, and we're being outshot like something ridiculous, like 40-17 after the second period. And I'm just like, I think we're down 4-1. I'm like doing everything I can, and it's just a rough night. And I snap after the second period, like snap my stick and throw it across the room and whatever. And after the game, I'm I'm sitting with Fred on the plane, and he goes, I thought we were doing pretty good, only giving up 40 after two. I was like, I was Denny Lemieux in the net. Like, yeah. But he's like, St. Louis was so good, and we were an expansion team. And you just, there's that layer of honesty where you're like, yeah, we're not good. We're just hanging in there. But I think I was just so passionate and wanting to have a good showing, and I just got rinsed. And Fred's sitting there going, nah, 40 in St. Louis after two, that's not too bad. Like, that's a good
team. We played pretty well.
There.
That's a highlight reel for us this year.
Here is another one of those honesty moments.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact date, but it was the 20-year anniversary of the United States winning the gold medal against the Russians. We were playing in Colorado, Atlanta. We've lost 18 or 19 in a row. Like, just think of that. And so all day long in the locker room, like on ESPN, they were playing, you know, all these retrospective looks back at the 20-year anniversary or whatever. Colorado's right in that Stanley Cup. You know, they just got Rob Blake, and, you know, they had Sakic and Forsberg. Like, you know, we weren't even in the same league. Well, somehow we win in overtime that night. So there's like 3 minutes left in the game, and our bench, you know, we're up a goal or it's tied, and it's chaos on the bench. Nobody knows who's up. You know, guys are jumping on the ice, jumping off the ice. It's chaos. And Nat Domichelli, who is now the general manager in Lugano in the Swiss League, he turns, we had just gotten him in a trade, and he turns around and he's pushing the boards behind us, you know, like behind where the coaches stand.
Yeah.
And I go, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm hitting the panic button. And fell on the ice. I'm like, oh, the whole bench was running around like our hair was on fire.
Finally had a win. Finally got one. Didn't know how to react. It had been that long.
I scored the overtime goal, and after the game, somebody, you know, they're doing an interview, and I said, yeah, you know, we've been watching this thing all day about the Americans, and I'm like, they're talking about the miracle on ice. Now that out there was the miracle on ice.
Yeah, that's a great reaction. That's a great way to endear yourself to the team. You're like, where am I right now, and why did I get traded here?
He was looking around, and it must have looked like, you know, like, what is everybody doing? Guys are going in the door, out the door. We never were in a game like this. Yeah. You know, but usually we play Colorado. I didn't even know if Patrick Waugh played for the team. We saw the backup goalie all the time.
Yeah, that Colorado team was so stacked. Another Minnesota Fred Flintstone story very quickly. I'm sitting on the bench beside him, and it's right around the...
I can't stop laughing that you called him Fred Flintstone.
Our Halloween party, he actually dressed up like Fred Flintstone with no mask. He just had the actual suit on. He looked exactly like him. But anyways, he's sitting beside me on the bench, and we're playing Colorado in Minnesota, and it's close to the trade deadline, and... I think our payroll was at about $14 million, and he leans over and he said, would you look at the amount of money on the ice right now? And Colorado had Sakic, Forsberg, Rob Blake, Patrick Waugh, and I think Hey Duke, and there was one other. There was like literally
maybe Adam Foote, right?
Ray Bourque might have been there.
It was $40 million on the ice on their power play. and we and he, it was like Brad Bombardier and Ladislav Benesek on the ice, and we'd called up a guy from the minor. Like, he's like, I think there's 800 grand on the ice to 40 million. He goes, this isn't going to go well, Noodles. And they scored about 8 seconds into the power play. He's like, see, I told you. Like, that's
everybody should play on an expansion team, Noodles. This is exactly why.
So funny.
It must just be a shock to the system when you go one way or the other. Like, if you're, let's use the NFL. That's where we started. Let's say you played your whole career in New England. You're like, all I know is we win, and Belichick is the king, and everyone does the right thing, and no one screws around. And then all of a sudden, you're playing for the Browns, and you're like, what the hell is going? How is this the same league? Like, how are these the same standards, the same salary cap? They use the same equipment, the same sized field. Like, it's not possible. Like, is it possible?
No, I don't want to turn this into a it's now my turn, Noodles. You got to have one coming back for this too.
No.
But a guy we both know is Andrew Brunette. Mm-hmm. He's the assistant coach in Minnesota. Funny, funny guy.
Yeah.
We're in Phoenix. We're down 2-0. We're always getting shut out. But Kurt Fraser keeps pulling the goalie because he doesn't want to get shut out, right? He's got a lot of pride. He wants, let's just break the shutout. So we got a face-off in the offensive zone, and Kurt calls timeout, and he draws this play. You know, defenseman's going to go down the boards. He's going to pass it back to the winger who's dropped out. He's going to go to the other side. We have no chance of completing this play, right? Like, we don't have any chance. So I'm going into the face-off circle, and Bruno goes, Eraser, come here. And so I go over. I think he's going to tell me something about the play. And he goes, chip it in the corner and I'll fall on it. And that way nothing bad can happen. And so I lose the draw, clean as a whistle, zip, right back to the D. He goes D to D. The guy shoots it 200 feet into the empty net. We pick up another minus.
What a play call. That's outstanding. Yeah, and that's down 2-0. It's not even to win the game. It's for respect. Can we score a goal just so we can leave here with a little bit of respect?
But the chances of us completing three passes in a row were like one of us getting to the moon. Yep. Like, it was just not, that was not going to happen. At least in Minnesota, Noodles, you guys were in everything. You checked the hell out of everybody, and you gave them, you and the goalies there gave them great, you backstopped it, and, with Jacques Lemaire, I mean, it wasn't too exciting.
No, we lost 3-1, 4-2 every night. Like, it was...
But you were in the games. Noodles, we lost one night to Jersey. I think, I don't want to say it was our third or fourth. It was later than that. But we lost 9-0. And I remember saying to one of their guys at the face-off circle, are you guys getting tired of putting your arms up yet? Like, it was 9-0. Like, not even, we were from a different league.
Mercy.
Mercy.
Yes, no, but they wouldn't give us mercy, Hayes. They kept giving us more games.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Well, can I ask you guys, any of you can answer, and Ray, I'll ask you first, I guess. Why is there no, bad teams? Speaking of bad teams, why is there nobody who goes at Tampa and says, you know what? Look at all these RFAs they've got. Three really good ones. They have no cap space. They can't get rid of guys. Why is no one taking advantage of that? Like, what is it still this reluctance to... offer sheet? Like, I just can't wrap my head around that whole thing.
Well, I think a couple things, and I'm curious what you guys think here, is that one is you have to get the player, first of all, to agree to the offer sheet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, he's got to think it's a good idea to sign somewhere else. Knowing that if the team matches, you might have upset the apple cart a little bit. Two is that the team making the offer, they have to have all of their own draft picks. Like, you can't go acquire a first rounder to put in the package.
Yep.
You've got to have your own. And so I think that probably takes a lot of teams out of the mix. And then the third is you get into a price point and maybe they're just not comfortable going there. But I hear you. These are really good players that are sitting there.
Like, Chernak is 23.
Yeah, I've had this conversation before with Owen and Hayes about Cirelli.
Yeah.
Like, that would have, if I was Ottawa, I would have offered him $6 million a year, which is rich for a guy that I don't know if Hayes, you don't think he's a one. I think he might be close.
Yeah.
He's
I think he's a great
I think he's a two.
I think he's a two. So let's just say he's a two. So your second line centerman could make around $6 million a year. The compensation, I believe, is a first and a third. But at $6 million, I don't think Tampa could keep him.
No.
Right? Like that's so now there's the unwritten rule of the old boys club behind the scenes, too, of, hey, you know what? Like,
especially in this era with COVID and the flat cap, I think it's even more exposed. I think it's even more how dare you when you know we're all dealing with trouble and the owners aren't happy.
Right.
I think it's even worse now than it ever would be, Noodles.
But that's the only one I could think of right off the top of my head where if I'm looking at, you know, the Ottawa Senators and they want to get to the floor, they got some, you know, want to spend a little bit of money. Well, here's a guy who just turned 23 years old and could potentially either be your one or two centermen for many years to come to build around, you know, the guys that you just drafted. You just acquired a goaltender. You know, Shabbat's there. You hopefully are going to get Brady Tkachuk done. So they've got the framework of some pretty good players moving forward. There's where you could potentially, for lack of better words, steal a player from a team that's pressed up against the cap. That's the only one that I could think of off the top of my head that would make sense.
Just think, I think he was a third-round pick, too.
Yeah. Well, yep. He's a really nice player.
Good player. But it's not going to happen now, right? Like, no one's going to snap out of it 3 weeks into free agency or 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, does it?
No, it seems like everything's kind of worked out, and there's still UFAs out there. And we were talking about Ilya Mikheyev, and he got his deal done 2 years at $1.65 million, and
discount.
Yeah, it's a discount. And he could have got more to play back in the KHL or whatever. But it's 2 years. You know, he's still – I don't know what he's going to be at the NHL. I like the way he plays. I think he's got potential. I don't think he's ever going to be a star. But I think he could be a quality two-way player that they might want on the bottom six to kind of balance things out. And I think it's a good deal for both sides. I think he should be happy with this. He's played 39 games in the NHL.
Well, I think so. When I saw the two-year deal, I'm like, I think he's a legit player. Like, you know, I know there's not much games to really go by, and I didn't know him before he came to Toronto, but he looked unlike, you know, I don't want to, I guess this is unfair maybe to Pierre Engvall, but like when Engvall came in and everybody was gushing over him and because this was on the backside of Mikheyev playing, I didn't see the same thing from Engvall that I saw from Mikheyev. Like, to me, Mikheyev looked, I don't know, he looked like there was some offense to his game. He looked like he got it. He looked like this North American thing was just fine to him. And I didn't see the same thing with Engvall. So when they have to go make this decision on Mikheyev off of his, you know, his shortened season, I thought the number was just fine. And as far as this thing, he left money on the table, and I don't know.
Come on.
Come on.
Get real. It's a good card to play. As I said earlier, Ray, I think every agent should do it. Like, why not sell it? Like, 99% of people won't buy it, but 1% might. And, hey, a bit of a hero mode in the market. It can't hurt.
Right. What did he leave? You know, like, come on. Anyway.
$1,000.
Anyway, it's a good
one. $1,000. Left $600 on the table.
Yeah. Robin Hood.
Bryce Harper's agent said the same thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bryce Harper sign for $300 million?
Yeah.
But he left money on the table.
Yeah, yeah. Philly
at
should
that
be.
Point, what, do you think Mookie Betts left money on the table?
I think he did, didn't he?
We signed, I don't know, I don't even care, $360 million. How much money, how big's your table?
Didn't Trout get like $400?
Yeah, but Trout's better than him.
But is he like $40 million better?
Over 13 years? Yes, he is. They're both, it's ludicrous money. I mean, how are we having this debate?
Yeah.
You know, there's some.
Gee, he got shortchanged. He only got $360 million.
Yeah. Exactly. Before we let you go here, Mike on Twitter, he found your game sheets. And
okay.
So it was February 22nd at Colorado. That was in the year 2000. So I guess February 22nd, 1980 was the miracle on ice. And you guys beat Colorado when you were with Atlanta, 4-3 in OT. You went on to lose 10 straight after that.
Okay, but don't forget, we had already lost 18 in a row before, like maybe a couple ties in there. This was not a fluke, our losing.
No, and including on March 10th against New Jersey, you lost 9-0.
Oh, that's the day. Oh, yeah. Who was in goal that? Oh, I guess he didn't say, but I wonder who was in goal that day.
Scott Frankhauser.
I mean for New Jersey. It could have been Brian Rafalski. What the hell was the difference going to be?
It wasn't Marty. I can guarantee you that. Marty was not playing that night. But there you go. And as Mike said,
it was one of the easiest ones he ever had.
Yep. That big win, it inspired you guys because you ran off a 10-game run that was close. There were some close games in there. You lost 5-4 at Edmonton, 3-2 at Ottawa, 3-2 at Montreal.
Yeah.
So there you go. Okay, but so there again, so Nat Domichelli was hitting the panic button. Man, he should have saved it a few days. We could have used it again.
Yeah, you need to spread the wealth, though, with that panic. He needs to learn.
The Thrashers. Always a history.
There always is. I love those stories. Those are the best. Going back and forth.
I just got a message from Fred Flintstone going, are you chirping me, bud? Question mark. So obviously somebody's reached out to him and said, Noodles is chirping Sean O'Donnell on his show. So good. I just said,
well,
I just
Noodles, since I don't want you to take the only heat from Fred, those guys out there, they started to surf. And they all learned to surf. And when I heard Odie was surfing, I sent him a note, and I'm like, what are you using for a board, a picnic table? What a guy, eh?
He's the best, He's such a good guy. Great, really good player, too. Won a couple cups, and, he ended up carving out almost a 20-year career.
That's not bad. No one's complaining about that. Well, will be back next week. He'll have some Carolina stories I'm sure he can add to the mix. Not like they were exactly the pillar of success.
No, I'm telling you, the really good teams, boring. You need teams like this for the good stuff.
It's the best. The best stuff. All right, buddy, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, boys, have a good one. See you.
Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days continue with rates from 0% and free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle purchase in October. MapleToyota.com.